Thank you, Jeff, very much. And now we'll turn to Judge Fang to talk about the courthouse naming policy.
And thank you, Justice.
Wait, I'm going to correctly jump in this time.
Yes, oh, that's right.
And we're calling item J. This is Court Facilities Revised Courthouse Naming Policy. Anyone here to make public comment? All right, thank you.
I'll get this down, but it might not be this meeting that I'll figure it out. Sorry.
Thank you, Justice Hill, for your remarks, and good afternoon, Chief Justice and honorable members of the Judicial Council. As Justice Hill indicated, I chair the subcommittee on courthouse names. Thorny as it is, I think it's a wonderful subcommittee, and we have worked very hard to review the policy and revise it. About 5 years ago, when the construction program was just beginning to pick up momentum, the Council's executive and planning committee adopted an interim naming policy. We have a lot of good reasons to revisit this policy at the present time. We have a lot of new courthouses that are in construction, and with the anticipated stabilization of our construction funds in the upcoming budget, we have 9 projects that will begin design next fiscal year. The members of the subcommittee and I have met several times in the past year to take a fresh look at this interim policy. And with the assistance of AOC staff, the subcommittee, and we developed several goals in crafting an update in the interim policy. First, we wanted the policy to continue to provide consistency and uniformity in how courthouses are named. Second, we wanted to reconsider the policy that courthouses can be named after living individuals. Third, we wanted to outline a process for naming courthouses that would be clear and up to date. And lastly, to ensure that new courthouses were clearly identified as California courthouses, which returns us to the primary goal of access to justice for everyone. The recommended naming protocol is quite simple. There are 2 options for naming a courthouse. One, a courthouse can be named in a standard way that identifies the location of the courthouse and the case type, if desired. An example of this is the Santa Clara Family Justice Center, which is in the first 9 months of its construction. This type of name is very user-friendly and is expected to be how most courthouses are named. In fact, this afternoon, we will ask you to ratify a list of 21 standard names of courthouses that have been completed or are under construction. 2, courthouses can also be named after a deceased person, although this type of name is expected to be used in very rare cases, and the bar is set very high. We think appropriately so, because the courthouse is every community's iconic symbol of the rule of law and the foundation of our democracy. Page 3 of the policy lists the criteria, each of which must be met to name a courthouse after a deceased person. I will read these to you now. 1, the person made recognizable significant contributions to the state or national justice system. 2, the person shall have been deceased a minimum of 10 years. We believe that 10 years is a reasonable period of time to establish the individual's character within which unknown facts would come to light. His or her reputation of honesty, integrity, credibility, and any improprieties will surface by then. And this time frame is consistent with the 10-year practice period requirement for consideration for judgeships in our state. 3, the person or the estate of the person or any otherwise related entity deemed to pose a potential conflict of interest by the subcommittee does not have any case pending before any court, and no such case is reasonably likely to come before any court in future litigation. 4, the naming does not present a potential conflict of interest as may be viewed by the public, governmental entities, and or private businesses. And 5, and last, the naming is consistent with the California Code of Judicial Ethics. Examples of deceased persons who could meet these criteria are, 1, a former president of a state or local bar association, 2, a trial court judge, an appellate court justice, or a state or federal legislator, 3, a former governor of California, 4, a former chief justice of the California Supreme Court, and 5, a member of the United States Supreme Court. Now, turning to the process of naming, it's very straightforward. Requests are sent to our subcommittee. the subcommittee will evaluate each request. In the case of standard names, the policy proposes that the subcommittee chair is delegated to have the authority to seek ratification of name directly from the judicial council. In the case of naming a courthouse after a deceased person, the subcommittee will make a recommendation to the Court Facilities Advisory Committee, which will in turn make a recommendation to the Judicial Council. The last part of the proposed policy relates to our goal of clearly identifying our courthouses as California courthouses. Again, we return to our goal of access to justice for everyone in our state. What we propose is very straightforward. First, signage and plaques must comply with the requirements of the California Trial Court's facility standards. And second, each exterior sign of a state courthouse shall indicate, quote, Superior Court of California, County of, and the Great Seal of the State of California. Before I close with a request to adopt, for you to adopt our recommendations, there's a special person I would want to thank in public, and that is Rona Rothenberg. She's the Senior Manager of Design and Construction. Rona is the lead staff to the subcommittee and works closely with me and members of the subcommittee while she is also actively managing a dozen projects in design and construction valued at $1.6 billion. Rona is not only an integral part of my subcommittee, but she is also a friend, and I consider her advice invaluable. She is wonderful as a person. She comes to my chambers in rain, and there's no one that would do what she did. Not only that, I want to thank Bill Guerin and Kelly Quinn for their advice, Chris Magnuson, and everyone that has worked with the subcommittee. And I will tell you, it is my privilege and my subcommittee's privilege to have these wonderful and talented people work with us. Without them, I told Rona this morning, I'm a ship without any steam. I'm a boat without a rudder. And, I call her up all the time. Rona, what are we doing? In fact, I had to call her up. I had to text her today. What time is the meeting? It's been moved three times. So Rona says, well, let me find out from Chris. So, Rona, you are absolutely wonderful. And Kelly and Bill, your advice is in bed. Now to close, the Court Facilities Advisory Committee recommends the Council adopt the revised courthouse naming policy and approve the standard names of new courthouses that are completed or presently in construction. I do want to call out that just this week we have refined the list of standard names of new courthouses that are completed or are in construction, which is captured in the revised attachment 2 to the Council report that has been made available to all of you. Thank you.
Judge Rosenberg.
Great report. Thank you.
Thank you
very
Judge.
Much. A question regarding attachment 2. I don't know if we have the latest revision. The one we have says dated April 25. I imagine that's the latest.
I believe that is the latest.
But I, when I go back to page 4 of the report, I see that there is a considerable consistency in the names under D2, for example, Superior Court of California, comma, County of blank. But when I look at the list, it's attachment 2, I see minor but noticeable differences. Is it your intention that these be the names that are listed in attachment 2, or is it your intention that the names follow the track shown on page 4, D2?
I think it's going to be, my understanding is to follow page 4 and D2.
Okay.
I think that's the intention. Am I right, Rona?
Well, let me just give you an example of what
okay.
I'm talking about.
Sure.
When I look at attachment 2, Superior Court of California, comma, County of Sutter. Then below that, Superior Court of the State of California, comma, Yolo County. And if I go through the list, I see variations. And so you're not going to do that. You're going to follow the example shown in D2 which would be Superior Court of California, comma, County of Blank.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is absolutely correct, Judge Rosenberg.
I think that's probably the better way. I think someone's trying to get your attention.
Kelly?
Well, I just want to say two things. Can everyone hear me?
No. Can you come to the mic? Thanks.
So I just want to clarify. I'm Kelly Quinn. I'm the Assistant Director for the Capital Program Office. I just want to clarify that what you have in your binder is not the updated sheet that Judge Fang referred to, and I'm not sure if that was distributed. It was sent by email, so I'm not sure if everybody is up on their email.
The one we have is dated April 25, but
we have an update that if you didn't get it by email, then the updated version is in the email.
And does the updated version follow the format shown in D2?
Not necessarily in every case, but what we did do just this week is we confirmed the names that are used in practice, which may vary from what's on the building, to make sure that these names were accurate and reflect what the practice is in the court.
Okay. Pretty close.
Very close, okay. Yes.
Justice Miller?
Again, I want to commend you. This is a difficult task, and I know all the work that you've put into it and the controversy associated with it, so you should all be commended. It's a great product, a great process, and I move to adopt the resolution, the recommendation.
Judge O'Malley, second. Any further discussion regarding the recommendations 1 and 2 in item J? Seeing no hands raised, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Recommendations carry. Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you for all of your support. We appreciate it.